just talking to Suzanne. We were actually on vacation in Florida, which is a bizarre state to begin with, and we didn't know, but we were near Palm Beach, one of the wealthiest areas in the country. But we were staying at an island nearby called Singer Island. Suzanne found a timeshare. You know, she's part of the Bonvoy, and this is a while ago, maybe almost a year ago, I forget. But Suzanne said, hey, we're usually in Florida around this time because the weather up here tends to be cold. And so we were down there, and just it's interesting how our brains work. And that is when you're away, even though maybe just 5 days, mentally it'll feel like you've been away a lot longer versus just staying here. Had I just stayed, did a staycation, and come back up here, I wouldn't be saying this. Anyway, thank you for our New Yorkers. Caleb's here and Serena's here from Manhattan. Thank you. Welcome.
And then after that conversation, I started
anyway,
to pray for her.
And so we were down in Florida. The weather was warm. But one of the things that we noticed about Palm Beach is this disparity between the super wealthy and the poor. And it's just right across the bridge, Palm Beach versus West Palm Beach. And it was similar when we were in Nairobi. Jana was there. We were in, visiting By Grace Ministry. Ed's familiar with that. In Soweto and playing with the kids who could barely, survive in that kind of condition. And then we got in a taxi and went to School of the Nations, private school, Christian school, great school. And so within 20-minute difference, kids were happy just eating. The next, about 20, 30 minutes later, kids are talking about their holidays, the Brits call vacation holidays. And I know John had a hard time, and the adults had a hard time too, that kind of disparity. And one of the things that happened, hopefully, for people who walk with the Lord is to move into not despair, but into prayer. Lord, bring some healing. There's so much, brokenness and disparity. Like, what's going on here? There's a clear indication that the world is not functioning well, Now, we know this, but there is a power to first eyewitness, firsthand experience, seeing it. And so we came back, stopped by Savannah, which is a great place to eat. So if you are foodies, two places I recommend, Charleston and Savannah. Great places to eat. And so we're back. The trip down there, we stopped by Rocky Mount, and then it took us 17 hours to get to Florida. So many accidents on North Carolina and South Carolina. 17 hours. And so when I saw the odometer, it was 1,012 miles that I had driven in total, just one way. I go, my goodness, this is worse than getting on a plane, And so not that I would call that a mission trip, but it felt like a mission trip in the sense of being away in a different place. But as I got back and as I prepared for the message, the Lord just brought to my memory a lot of the wonderful things that the Lord has done. And that's what I want to share today. And it's quite remarkable. We never set out to be a church like anybody else. That was not my plan. And there are things that I'm going to share with you. And for me, I use sort of mental filing cabinet, so to speak, or hooks. And hooks for me is China, Bob, Bill, and Helen. Those are the four hooks. Okay, I'm going to describe what these are. Okay, I'm going to read a passage, and I'm going to explain as well as I can to especially our young people why we are here. Why are we here at the Rock? What's God's purpose for creating the Rock Church? And I'm praying that after this afternoon's sharing, that you will be encouraged or inspired. God is doing a unique thing. We are called to be a unique expression of what God is doing on the planet. Definitely in this area. So it's not a regular standard church. And so sometimes people coming in will make comments like that, you know. And so once we understand what the Lord is doing, you'll see that you're invited in to do something uniquely powerful and beautiful. And so the passage I have in mind for us, which is sort of a theme for this year, a theme of the Lord doing, making things new, transformation. Just a comment. The year 2020, right before that, there was so much prophetic excitement, you know, the year 2020, year of clear vision. And very few people prophesied or prayed about the COVID. It came out of the blue, so to speak. And there's a certain danger when we are devastated or blindsided, and that is to, you know, kind of decrease one's expectation. Once you've been, you know, once you have your heart broken, once the boyfriend dumps you or the girlfriend dumps you, once you have a bad experience, once you've been fired or whatever, the next time around, your expectation just decreases a little bit. And my prayer for you is that for 2022, that you won't bring the leftover from sort of the discouragement of 2020 and 2021. In Florida, I was praying and I was, Lord, I just want to bless our people for the New Year's. And so the poem that I sent was actually composed a couple days before. In Florida, as I'm praying, all of a sudden, I just felt like this kind of fatigue, like, Lord, we're tired. Happy New Year. Aren't you tired? Aren't you tired already? Someone unwind the clock back to 2010 or fast forward time to 2030 without the Asian process. I want to sleep a long time and wake up to a freshly made world. I want to take a power nap with the power turned on after the disease. My brain is dizzy, thinking in circles. Right? My ears are dry, staring into dead space. My legs are heavy. Even as I was composing, I was kind of feeling it. It was an unusual kind of composition. I was feeling the different parts of my body. My legs are heavy, walking nowhere. My lower back is sore, you know, Zoom sitting for hours. And it was kind of capturing the mood and the feeling that we were going through this past year. And then I hope you notice there's a Bible passage. What a wretched man that I am, Paul says. Who will deliver me from this body of death? That's scripture. That's by John Lee. Thanks be to God who delivered me through Jesus Christ the Lord. So that's just straight from scripture. Deliverance from weariness. Deliverance from monotony. Deliverance from insularity. When COVID and these things happen, we have a tendency to withdraw just to kind of, you know, entrench ourselves with our family and see the world as scary. COVID is real for sure, but we have to manage our emotional reaction to it. You know, Israel had a particular reaction to Goliath and the Philistine. Oh my God, this is a mighty, mighty enemy against us. But David saw that. He didn't diminish that, but he saw someone greater. He saw beyond Goliath, the living God, the armies of the living God. And in our day, we need the ability to see beyond the presenting threat. Okay? Because if your focal vision is completely caught full of the presenting threat, then fear will drive out the opposite of fear, and that's love. Love drives out fear, but fear could drive out love. Fear could drive out hope. Fear of dying, fear of getting sick, fear of X, Y, and Z. And so I just want to just encourage everyone to just be in prayer, you know, be in prayer of your reaction to these things. And it's so easy to make enemies these days. Just within the Christian camp. You're not vaccinated? Oh my God. You're vaccinated? You're not spiritual. So there's these unnecessary battles that's going on. We want everyone to be healthy.
You are our Savior,
but we cannot afford to live, you know, move in the spirit of fear, spirit of accusation, spirit of judgment. All is well, and all manner of things will be well.
As we know
quote Julian, to quote Julian of Norwich. It's going to be well. And I've been praying for 2022. And I think it's going to be good. The peak of this present variant is actually next weekend. That's going to be the peak. We are the epicenter in the U.S., the D.C. area. Yeah, we are the epicenter of the Omicron virus. Woohoo! Number one.
In a manner of speaking.
But after next weekend, things are going to go down.
Yeah.
I'm so self-centered. I think the world revolves around me around the time of my birthday. Things are going to get better. I remember writing up the report for my seminary. I said, I was writing the history of our seminary. I said, we can date the turnaround. It's January 10, 2019. I was shocked. Because that's when the Board of Trustees voted to move forward as an independent school. So I was checking my emails, and I was getting a bunch of emails on January 10th, 2019. What's the vote? John, did you hear the vote? And I remember writing to the faculty, the vote has come in. We are going to survive. And so being narcissistic, you know, the world does revolve around me. Or my, you know, spiritual cousin Elvis, who was born January
8th. By faith, he kept the Passover. And the application of blood.
And so I think there's going to be a turnaround. So allow the Lord to be the Lord. Allow the Lord to speak a fresh word. Don't be so jaded and skeptical and hurt that your hope in the Lord is almost nil. This is the time for the hope to arise. There's a real battle of hope.
Now three remain.
And I'll talk about hope a little bit more. But the passage that I want us to look at is Revelation 21, verses 1 to 8.
These are all different ways
then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Remember, this is John, the Apostle John on the island of Patmos. In old age, this is probably the last book written in the Bible. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. So he's having this open visionary experience. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband.
Interesting,
right?
Relation of
city
trust is this thing called
coming
love,
down from heaven, a city that's
the
dressed as a bride.
Stirred,
so these are mental associations
stirred,
that Paul,
delight
that John is,
stirred, is
having. It's a city,
and
but
you
it
can
looks like a bride.
Actually fall
and
in
then
love
the
with
following
God.
Chapter, it's a city that looks
you
like a garden.
You could actually find yourself attached to God.
Of Scripture.
So that in your prayers you feel
city,
that you are in love with the Lord.
Prepared as a bride, beautiful dress for her husband. And I heard a voice
so
from the throne saying, look,
all go
God's
together.
Dwelling is now among the people,
in terms
and he will dwell with them.
Our life
they will be
in
his
God
people, and God himself
begins,
will be with
and
actually, them and be
as
their
gets
God.
Sustained
he will
faith.
Wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more
love
death,
brings you in,
or mourning, or crying,
love
or pain.
Enriches
for the old order of things.
But when there's love, there's always
away.
Trust.
That's
there's always this
picture.
Faith. Now with Abraham, he's the father
that's
of faith.
That's where we're going
to
end up.
He is the figure
going to be
that
an
Paul uses
of life
to describe to the Gentiles.
No
you have a new father.
And death.
And that's Father Abraham.
One
yes,
day
the
we
Jews have
that.
Abraham as a father, but Gentiles,
but in the meantime,
non-Jews,
we are in the
you have been grafted in.
So then the
and
question
what
is,
makes
God,
you
where are you?
A child of Abraham is that you have
he
the
who
same
was seated
thing.
On the throne
you
said,
operate in
I
the
am
same
making everything new.
Disposition
so there's a transition.
Abraham.
So John
he
sees this,
in God.
And
he
then
in God.
He's
he
brought to
in
the
God.
Present
and
tense.
That was credited to
and
him
he
as
hears
righteousness.
The Lord, I
so
am making everything
it is the case
new.
That
new
when
when?
You trust in Jesus,
new in the ear,
that trust is credited to you as
righteousness,
meaning you have a right standing before God.
Then he said, write this down, for these words are
trustworthy. Faith was received,
and write these
and God
down.
Looked upon
he said
that
to me,
act
it is
of trust
done.
As a righteous
I am the Alpha and the Omega.
He sang to us,
okay, the COVID
Paul,
has a bad
the
joke, Delta and Omicron.
That whenever we trust in God,
Alpha and the Omega.
We have a
if
right
we get to Omega with this
God.
COVID, then we're in deep
Jesus
trouble. Jesus
and
a lot
the Father
of in the
sees
Greek
it
alpha.
As an act of righteousness.
And so the righteousness of Jesus clothes us, even though we have
sin. Beginning
and
the end.
Whenever we move with faith,
first letter,
that kind of righteousness, right standing is restored.
To the thirsty, I will give water without cost.
Because if it wasn't faith, it would be some form of works righteousness. You would have to prove yourself. You would have to actually be righteous, which is impossible.
The murderers, the sexually immoral,
those who practice magic arts, and idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake. Things that we do or don't do, it's in us. The sarks, the flesh, the sinful nature is in us. And last week I wrote, I read
on the one hand, it's going to be glorious, but there is judgment. You know.
I am a sick man. I am a wicked man.
There is judgment. There is a final
and in Orthodox Christianity,
categories of people
Orthodox
who are
being
just living their life
offshoot of Greek
to
Orthodox,
their own
they see the problem
lust,
of humanity
anger,
mainly not as a sinner, but as a sick person.
Future kingdom. And so
you're not guilty before a judge. You are sick in the hospital. You know. And so there's a difference between how Eastern Christians understand
it's
the problems of humanity versus
prayer.
The West,
I mean, ultimately,
but it's Catholic or Protestants.
Mercy
and in the East,
ones
we
but
are,
too may be found
our difficulties in lie in the fact that we are sick. And in the West,
I want
our
us
difficulty
to consider
is
the
about
phrase
guilt.
That Jesus uses the alpha.
But when we look at the scriptures, it's
and that
really
is, I am making everything new. And the question is, new what?
We're born sick.
You're making
we're
everything
born
new?
Broken.
And the answer is
and,
yes.
And a manifestation
I am making
of
everything
sickness
new.
Is wickedness. We
give
are
me some
wicked
examples.
Because we are sick.
And the Lord said, I'm making a new humanity.
And in fields of psychiatry, psychology, they understand that. When people are raised in
dysfunctional
homes,
I'm doing something new by pouring out my spirit, which has
not taken place previously to act soon. There's a tendency for the abused child to grow up as an abuser.
I am forming a new people. I am bringing healing. I am bringing the glory of God to the earth.
They're sick.
But we could ask
therefore,
further, what else, Lord, knew, especially in our lives?
And
knew
so
what?
Abraham is the person
knew
who's highlighted
where?
Here.
Knew how. Knew
and
why.
The thing that's highlighted in
the
passage
knew why
that
is
we're reading
because of God's
is
glory,
that
what Jesus has done.
Abraham
what God has done through
thinks
Jesus,
in
life,
ways that are utterly different
he's doing
than the way he
actually
thought
something
before.
New,
in
even
Genesis
in our midst, 12, right here
1,
and right now.
Yahweh, the Lord says, go. That's the from your country,
theological truth number
from
one.
From your people,
he is doing
from your father's
new.
Household,
it's not
to
he's
the
going
land,
to do something
I will
new.
Give
we're
you.
Not waiting for something.
Abraham,
he's
Abraham
already in the process.
Old
he's
man,
already
but
doing
God is up
new.
To something
every day.
And what
he's
God is up to
new.
Is to create a new humanity
see.
Out of Abraham.
We need
and in order for the, him to be the father of this new humanity, a family of faith,
and
so the way I get out of his situation, he needs to get out of that culture of polytheism.
And the
walk
taglines.
With God,
none,
learn
none
about God and God's way.
Me,
as long as he is in the Father's household,
bookshelf,
he will think according to the Father's
at a
household.
Book, how to do
as long as he is with his people,
century,
he will think
to
according
pastor,
to his people.
It's all
this
organic.
Is an immigrant experience.
Okay. It just
right?
The Lord was doing something, and then later he put
in
a name
order to
it,
think culturally different,
or he put a
you need to
theology
move from
it,
one
so
culture
I could see
to another. And that's what God is doing. God wants to fashion a new
and so
humanity.
The hooks for me
a
is
people
China.
Who will trust him and not worship any gods.
Bob Hartley, Bill Johnson,
and learn
and
God's ways. And the only way psychologically
so
that's going to happen
China.
Spiritually is that Abraham.
And so I get a call from John Goh early 2007 or late 2006.
Thus begins his journey.
He tells me he's been
and
with
as
Yuan
he's
for
learning
number of years,
about
he
Yahweh,
said, John,
he experiences
I am now the leader
miracles.
Of China missions for
he experiences
China
the miracle
from the Kona
of a child.
And the
he's
first
old,
thing I asked
old.
Him is, John. Get
and
me
so initially,
over there,
when they hear the promise, they're, kind,
Susanna
they're
and
trying
I
to make sense of God's
China,
promise,
and
and they're
our eyes
taking
were
God's promise
during
of
the
an
2 weeks we were
metaphorically,
in China,
figuratively,
the
like
of 98,
God's promise,
the books,
you know, an
the book
heir,
of Acts
maybe
came to life.
The maid
there was
servant,
so
Hagar.
Much power,
and God says,
healing.
No.
People who are blind
it's
being
your
healed,
own flesh,
a
your son
fully demonized person, beginning to get delivered. There was
persecution. 15:4. God reminds
there were young
them,
people
the
who were thrown into jail.
Is something that's
it
actually
was like
impossible.
Living out the book of Acts. And in fact, I was reading the book of Acts in China, and for the first time, the book came alive. I said, when people ask me, how was your experience in China? I said, read the book of Acts and just put Chinese names in there.
And so things are going well. Whenever promises fulfill, there is an excitement.
The level of hunger was so intense.
Our dear friend
so we
in Hong Kong,
in Harbin, northern part of China, in the summer in the northern hemisphere. The sun comes up like 3:30.
And so, and then the sun sets late, like 9, you know, or 10. Her mom went to Amherst.
And so you would hear the rooster crow at 3:30.
But then, of course,
see the gangster ducks during the day, the wild, you know, like these ducks are not regular ducks.
One of the schools was Cornell, and then we set her up.
But the thing that stirred my heart was the hunger of the people. We would have meetings, and they would be there hours before, worshiping the Lord. The only musical instruments being their hands. No guitar,
nothing. And so
Amorous,
the young lady from Hong Kong,
was so hungry. And so when we did ministry,
a lot of self-confidence.
I didn't have to be anointed at all.
Asian
you just say Jesus,
young lady, and she's
and
so
something
happy
powerful.
There are tall people in America,
and all the phenomenon I had seen up to that time in Toronto, they all took place in China.
And
people
just a few
falling,
weeks
having
ago,
vision, Amherst instant healing, demons Amherst being cast off, all the wild manifestations I saw.
Sort of
and they
the
weren't
reaction.
Copying,
we
they were just responding
there is a kind
to
of a
the
promise.
Power of God.
It's not a promise from the
and
Lord,
so
but
on our
I'm sure as they're praying,
train ride
like
from Harbin to Beijing,
in.
Like a 24-hour
so
train ride, I
there's
was
a promise
to fill,
there's a natural elation.
Like,
oh my goodness.
Fuel is ripe unto harvest in China. And I said,
okay,
Lord,
our men are here. I don't know if Lucy told
if you.
You
would get me over here again.
But she should have told you. So, Suzanne, I'm going
to
just share
so,
a little bit.
You know, 8 years
Suzanne
later,
was talking to Lucy about prayer.
John
like
says,
when Suzanne was
I'm,
younger, she
I'm
would
in
pray
of
to
China
the Lord
for
about like,
I
getting
said,
Jordache
I
jeans
to
or ice
China.
Cream or whatever.
Can you send
anything
me that?
She prays
so
for,
in June 2007,
she got.
I went to Chongqing, which is sort of central China,
or I want to go to BTS
to do a DTS. And that summer, I visited this guy
and
named Kenneth Bay,
because
Sung-ak
is
who
such
was
a man of the Holy Spirit. He's stirred. He goes, I'm going
to
surprise
and then
my
I went back again to do another
tickets,
DTS a few months
tickets,
later in October
get a nice
2007.
Hotel, so I'm going to take
so June 2007, I'm there. I'm back in October 2007. And prior to the trip, Suzanne said, do you sense anything? I said to her, without full knowledge,
so
but I sensed,
Suzanne
I think the Lord's going
to
encounter me.
Thank the Lord.
And he does encounter me. I'm
that's
not going to tell you the full
to the
dream.
Lord's prayer.
Some of you know this. But the Lord commissioned
me. So whenever
me,
God answers something like that, there's elation. So Abraham is elated.
To know
there's a song.
How God takes
and then the Lord says,
ensure how God takes the nations.
Sacrifice.
So in this very intense dream, God slips in Chinese Kong Cheng theology. Literally in Chinese means attack city.
Did I do something wrong? And the Lord, no, no.
And so that was an assignment. So I woke up from it. I have an assignment. Discover the theology of how God takes the city. That was the assignment. And the answer
is
houses of prayer.
Real difficulty.
There's never been a move of God without an actual house or houses of prayer. And so I had insight into the spiritual dynamics of how God takes a city. God does not wave a wand and say, oh, Jerusalem is mine, Rome is mine, Seoul is mine, D.C. is mine. He doesn't do this. What he does is he stirs up people in D.C., in Rome, in Jerusalem, to pray for his presence.
Teleological suspension.
People who will establish themselves in worship. We have been praying all along, Tuesday night, but after that commissioning, it opened my eyes and my heart. Lord, whatever church we do, we have to start, make sure there is prayer. So immediately after that, we did all kinds of prayer. Friday night, 6 hour, 12 hour, once a year, 24 hours. We did all this. But prayer is the engine of this church. China means prayer. Prayer also that's connected to the nation. So John Go.
But what's really happening
that's not
Abraham
when I look at John's ministry in Korea or my relationship, it's not extraneous. It's not outside. It is part of who we are.
Abraham is actually thinking.
And then when Andrew and Noreen are not here, when they got kicked out of the denomination, long story short, Andrew visited
that
and I'm praying for Andrew in my dining
the
room.
New way of
and
thinking.
I said, Andrew, you got to build a house of prayer.
Not
and he said,
thinking,
I don't know what you're
God
talking about. So then I tell him the
I'm
dream.
I'm going to sacrifice my son,
so
and that's
forth.
It. He's
we visit five
thinking,
of us, me, Helen,
if
Richard,
I'm hearing God
Jimmy,
correctly,
Christy,
and I offer
and at
my
that
son
time,
and he dies,
building,
God has the power to
this
bring
is house
him
of
back
prayer.
To life. And that's
how
why
much
he
is
goes
it? It's
ahead.
Only 190,000.
So there's an actual
only,
insight here.
And this is
insight
where the Hans come in. They said,
Abraham
we'll give you $250,000.
And when we walk
email,
with God,
Marine,
our thinking,
we got the money. Go, what?
Expands.
So
our realm
said,
of possibility
out of my
increases.
Chair. We ended up getting some other building, you know. And that house of prayer in Izmir is now still functioning. And it's given birth to an Indonesian house of prayer and a Chinese house of prayer. All the short-term mission groups, most of them stay in this house of prayer. And it came about because of the Lord's intention to take Turkey.
So God has the power.
And some of these houses of prayer are intimately connected. When we were praying for a missionary in Turkey, she fell down. We asked, is this your first time? No, the first time I saw smoke arising out of China, Western China. I go, oh my goodness, do you know? I knew instantly what that meant. The house of prayer in Izmir is going to be connected to a house of prayer in Western China. And a third house of prayer in Jerusalem. So the Lord is orchestrating. So China for me is at the core of what we are, to be a house of prayer. There's no guarantee that it will be full. There's no guarantee it will be exciting. Most of the house of prayer activity is not that fun. Because prayer itself, most of the time, is not that fun. Occasionally, the Lord will throw, like a little treat, revelation. But most of the time, it is a grinding work.
No one who died.
But there's a purpose
life.
To the grinding work,
this
and
is
that
first
is God will show
of
up.
That ability, that kind of conjecture, that possible.
So that's why
that
we
kind of
insist on houses of prayer.
Is described here.
Whether
in
Zip or
world,
Zoom or Rock Hop,
just like now.
If you take away the house
dead.
Of prayer from this church, you don't have
they
our church.
Have
we don't have it. It's the core DNA. So that goes back early.
After the Pharaoh's been mummified.
And then earlier, before that, I actually met Bob, 2004. He had come to this area starting 2002. But when I got hired as a youth pastor, Pastor Yoon said, as a youth pastor, you have to make sure our kids go to Grace Retreat. I go, I don't know what that is. So a few months later, I'm in sort of Southwest Virginia at a Methodist campground. The auditorium is filled with about 400 or 500 folks.
And
this Caucasian man, the white guy, stands up the first night. He says, John Lee, PhD, stand up. I go,
what is possible?
I stand up, he gives me words. I go, oh my goodness.
And then we have limited faith.
How does he know? So he says some nice things, and then he gives me a warning. Don't be offended. And I realized what he had prepared me was to not get offended about how things got started at KPCR. And I began to understand, he started to share about the healed and expanded view. This is before the hope language came in. Adoration, devotion, healed and expanded view. But then his encounter, Bob's encounter, got reorganized to the Hope Reformation. So this is where Bob's theology of the hope came in. Now, the theology is not unique to Bob. I told him very early on. I said, Bob, you sound like an English Puritan to me. He goes, I don't know what you're talking about. They had a view of God in his sovereign goodness. And that is, God will ultimately win. And human sin and stubbornness will not. And that's what the revelation is about. And God loves the people. God loves the city. God loves the nations. And there are particular cities and nations that God really wants to move in a powerful way. And so I believe that. But here's a modern day prophetic man sharing that. And then he had given words to me and our church, going to be a hope center, a healing center, all these different kinds of things. So in terms of theology, Bob comes in, the hope theology. So our mission statement is to raise up hope reformers,
and presence carriers for cities and nations. Now, Bob had that we're presence, but it didn't really hit me until I went to this little meeting in D.C. while Bill Johnson was speaking. Now, I had not been following Bill Johnson. I'm not like a groupie of his. I don't follow people, but I felt like I should go there. And he says a line that caught my attention. It's as though the curtains open or the bitsy parted. It was so, so important. And he said the following line in the small talk. He said, at Bethel, at his church, more people are healed in the presence than people who come up to the front to receive prayers of healing. When he said that, I go, oh my God, that's it. Along with hope, we need the presence.
Oh my God, I can't.
When the presence of God comes, then people encounter the Lord and they get healed. And they don't even know it. It's like a light bulb of ideas turn on, and now I have the matching pair. I have the theology, but the theology without power is just great thinking. Okay, theology is great thinking. But if you have the power, if you have the presence, then the transformation can come about. So that's why Bill Johnson is important. Not that I have a friendship with him. It's the comment that he's made. And then subsequently I read the book, Hosting the Presence. And as I was discovering the importance of presence, I discovered the importance of worship. So the question for our church that season is, how does God's presence come? Is there a particular activity in the church that draws the presence? And there is. It's not preaching.
So my encouragement is struggle well.
It's worship.
Struggle well. Struggle well, wrestle
it's
with
worship.
God. It's not easy.
Friday night, Sunday. That's why it's not just music.
Wrestle with God and then call people to pray with you.
Worship without Hold His on. Presence is just lovely music.
And pray.
You could get that at a nice
there's
concert.
There's no guarantee. Even for a man.
But if you have music
woman,
plus His
no
presence, then you have God
outcome.
Encountering people.
But you pray
and I myself have encountered the Lord without preaching. I love preaching. But I want God's presence more. I don't want just good words. I want the living word to encounter me. And so that's why the paradigm of worship changed. Worship is important at the Rock because God's presence is important. So it's not about music. It's about alignment. It's about agreement. It's about praising the Lord because the Lord has already chosen to inhabit the praise of His people.
Using old people.
And one of the challenges of our COVID
is
the worship Friday and Sunday. So that's why Bill comes in. Now Helen comes in because five, 6 years ago. Helen had, you can correct me later, series of dreams about me. They all happened like November 28th, December 28th, January 28th. It was like that specific. The short of it is, Pastor John, go with your heart and the church will follow. Don't try to be a good pastor, a good church. And that was such a new revelation because when I got ordained as a pastor in November 2006, I always thought parallel tracks. What's good for me personally and what's good for the church? And Susanna and I never saw ourselves here long term. That's why we got a 5-1 arm at the Amy Lane. I said, listen, we bought the house 2006. 2004.
I have your attention.
We moved in November 2004. He says, in five years, we'll be out of here. And so during my short term pastorate of a pastor of the youth and later on college and young adult at KPCR, what I want to do even here is to develop, pray a healthy church so that when I leave, the church will be in good hands, so some other pastor can come and take care of it. So up till that point of Helen sharing, my thought, I never
personally consider my own desires as connected to the church.
That's why
I always thought of myself as a good steward. Lord, I want to be a good steward of the church, so that after my tenure, somebody else could come in and pastor this church well.
Other people who may actually have
so what does that mean? I wanted to make sure everyone's feeling good about the church. I was going after the people who were hurting, people who were complaining. And while I'm doing it, I'm getting exhausted. I'm not going to mention names. I was spending a lot of time with a handful of people who needed a lot of attention. And the church itself wasn't thriving.
Jesus died for
so
the
Helen
world.
So Helen has these three dreams.
There is no
and then it broke
such
my
thing.
Heart. Soon after that dream, I have an open
totally
vision.
Private,
while I'm driving, I see Jesus.
There's a private personal element to
like
it.
Like an architect
but
at the architectural
the Lord
table.
Is the Lord of all.
I see Jesus at a slanted desk drawing,
body.
And I see myself coming to him. And I
but
see the
America,
blueprint
so
like an architect would have. And before
quiet,
I get there,
I'm
the Lord says,
no,
hi, John, I am building your church. So I go to see the Lord, and when I look, there's nothing drawn. I thought he would have designed it all. I say, Lord, there's nothing here. And then he says, what would you like the church to look like?
Even in a lovely church like this.
And I said, Lord, I have no thought about the size, but whatever the church,
but
I want
God
the best view in town.
That
was a line from
not
Bob. I want people,
like
whoever comes to this church, to see
people,
the best view of God and the best
and
view of their life.
Process of getting these messed up people unmessed up.
Because God's in love with life.
Work out
our vision statement is to become a place where hope theology and presence reality embrace in the hearts of lives of people for their joy and for the glory of God. With hope theology is biblical theology, which says God loves life. God died for life. God is redeeming life. God loves nature. God loves animals. God loves plants. God loves economics. God loves good politics and government. He loves family. He loves entertainment. He loves social life. He loves the things he's created. And John, you need to see the world and yourself the way I see. I have not abandoned the world. I am making everything new.
So it says here, by faith Moses.
And I knew that would speak to the young people.
You know what?
God isn't far away and indifferent. He is invested in art or politics. He's invested in health. He's invested in economics. He's invested in ecology. He's invested in nations getting along. He's invested in peace. And he is invested in salvation. He's fully invested. That's why the Lord Jesus died for us. That's why he poured out his spirit for us. Not that we waste and wait for Jesus to come back. No, he says, be busy because I am busy transforming this world. But in order for you to understand what I'm doing, you need eyes to see. You need to see your eyes. You need eyes to see him, and you need to see eyes to see yourself.
And so he relinquished, he let go of the luxury.
So Bob has moved hope to the Yellow House, and one of the early signs is that raising up hope reformers are people who are healed and made whole. Because if you think you are awesome follower of Jesus and you're broken, you're gripped with fear and hatred and sadness and despair, you won't be able to carry the message of hope. How can you bring hope when you yourself are hopeless in your life? How can you bring joy when you are depressed? How can you bring power when you're powerless?
Past few years,
it's far easier to build a house or a building. A 40-story building is far easier because it's mechanical.
Kind of charismatic. It's hard to associate.
Building up a person takes a long time.
And so, I'm not them.
And I have a thought on this.
Like, we are like Peter
the
and say,
swiftest,
hey, aren't you one of them
if sufficient way,
you know,
efficient way is that you cooperate with the Holy Spirit.
No,
if you cooperate with the Holy Spirit in humility and prayer and say, Lord, not my will, your will be done. I yield myself. Then your transformation is going to be pretty fast. But if you insist on your way, it's going to be long. and hard, and you're going to learn life's lessons again and again, unfortunately, often through heartache.
You and I are called to be a people.
So where Helen's dreams came in, it was a personal thing.
But you said, no,
and then Bob had said early on, very early, 2006, that was at the having a meeting with him at the Marriott and after Grace Retreat. So he and I are talking, and he says, so, John, what are your plans? Like, oh, you know, a few years, Suzanne and I are going to be overseas. That'll take place, but not now. And the people you're going to take are people right under in your house, in the church.
What God is interested is...
And you're going to teach kings how to hear God's voice. You're going to go as a generalist first. You're not going to go as a specialist. And then he says the following line that was kind of offensive. He says, stop being a pastor. Be a scout. See what the Lord is doing and tell the people what you see. And when he said that, I remember my reaction. I said, because you're a prophet, you're saying this, you're not a pastor. No pastor would say such lines. So I remember him saying that and being offended. Stop being a pastor, be a scout. But after Helen's dream, it came together. I go, I have a particular assignment here. Yeah, I try hard to be a good pastor. Write poems that's kind of funny and moving. But if I'm not a praying pastor, if I'm not a prophetic pastor, I am a no good pastor for you. My heart's desire is revival. That's the thing. My heart's desire for the longest, for most of my life, was revival. It was out of my desire for revival that Shin and I prayed regularly while we were students. Revival for the Wheaton campus and America. And both he and I left depressed because we didn't see revival. But the revival would come each and every time Suzanne and I minister.
I didn't go because I thought I might be...
Shin was the first, Chundozan Namor, a youth pastor, like a formal way, actually in the city of Boston. When he was a youth pastor in 1988, he started at Harvard, he was the first second-generation pastor of a youth group. He was the first. After he left to become an associate pastor at NCFC, I took his place, and the Lord continued to stir the young people in the era of the Holy Spirit.
I love that word.
And then we went to a church in New Haven, a traditional church, a Presbyterian Korean church.
And so part of the
and kids would start praying. I had helpers, Steve Chung and Eugene, and these young leaders who's a... Some are kind of well-known, one at Redeemer in New York. They start breaking out in tongues. So the parents would ask, like, what is this? Hey, don't worry. It's just, they're just speaking a spiritual language. And then we had a college kid, a high school kid from St. John's, Eugene Kim. He's very bright. His sister went to Yale. And then when I visited the churches at Yale in New Haven, I go, my goodness, there's no evangelical church. There's this Methodist church. Kids get drunk, roll out of bed, go there. And then when I heard the message, he was talking about Calvin and Hobbes. I go, where's God? I was so sad for Eugene. I said, just for him, I'm going to start a church in New Haven. Just for this one kid, I'm going to start a church. I was so sickened. Sad. Then I told the Lord, Lord, you know, I don't play the guitar. We need worship. So, Lord.
Second grade.
And then this guy from St. John's, Steve, was at UConn, University of Connecticut, about an hour away from New Haven. I give him a call. He's a prophetic young man. So I give him a call. And he says, John, the Lord spoke to me like a Wednesday. And he says, John's going to call you. Help him. So I give him a call, and his answer was immediate. Yes, the Lord told me to help you. Great.
Hallelujah.
So he would pick up
Eugene.
He didn't get into Yale. Thumbs down on Yale.
I was like
Yale.
So utterly amazed that
Wesleyan.
My career.
So he would pick up, Steve would pick up Eugene, come down to our house on Saturday, and we would spend the night in prayer, in preparation for worship on Sunday.
This is a new nation, new
and
culture.
The Lord will show up on Saturday nights, just like in Toronto.
Ed and my sister Elizabeth, they have to become
Suzanne
Americanized.
Will be tickled by the Lord.
Because if they don't, they're not going to be successful.
I got some inner healing.
So First thing is language.
And so we did church for just 1 year, and the
language
first Sunday, the Yale kids were there.
And analogously, we need to speak the language.
Steve's strumming, and I'm singing.
Language of Jesus.
It's definitely
language
not my singing.
Possible and impossible.
But the Spirit
language
of the Lord
of the
came down.
Of God. Language
kids
of
were
what
crying.
Is meaningful in one's life. It's not money, it's
a
not
word
money.
Of God was not preached. Sermon was not
language.
Preached. The Spirit came down heavily.
The second thing,
and kids were being set free. One in particular was getting
so
healed.
After
and
like
Lord
2 weeks
showed
of school,
and in my excitement, I told the Yale kids, I said, you guys want to learn how to prophesy? Yes. And so we trained the whole team to prophesy using a microcassette. I said, I trained them. And then Shin visited us and did the retreat. I said, I've never met a group of college kids who are so charismatic. They're all from one campus. And out of that, many became pastors and leaders, and the Lord had spoken to me before I went. Invest in their lives, they'll be leaders.
I'm not kidding. Back in the 70s, you wore the same clothes every
day. So one of them, Carl Park,
he's
going to be teaching for Leland
once a month.
Semester. Peter Chin's a pastor.
It's kind of embarrassing, but the teacher didn't want
there's a guy named Dave Cho, who's a professor of Old Testament at Wesley Seminary now. There are a whole bunch of others. The Lord did something awesome.
So my mom
and so we've been going through different places, and revival has shown up. And the Lord is saying, I want to make a difference in people's lives. And the only way the difference will come about is that Jesus shows up.
Clothe yourself with Jesus.
When Jesus doesn't show up, the power of worldliness and sin is much stronger. The stats will show that. If God doesn't show up in revival power, this generation and the coming generation will know the Lord less and less, and fewer people will know the Lord, and fewer cities and nations will be changed. That was what's in my heart.
Big brown like Safeway.
What was in my heart for it was for God to know.
I'm a little guy with this big.
Along the way, we had encounters with Elijah Kim. I don't have time to spell all this out, but he came to the ordination and prophesied over John and Serena when they were younger, talking
and
about
I'm,
them.
I'm a sensitive kid. So the first thing I did in the morning is like quickly unpack, take the stuff out of the...
And so we have a tagline, hope, healing, presence. They're all kind of interconnected. I wish Pastor Tom was here today.
And I said,
the healing thing got stirred actually when Pastor Tom joined KPCR after his time in Seattle. Like, we get to, hey, let's do some healing. So we actually did healing. He did some healing, some teaching. So we were already kind of moving in healing. But then, a little bit after, things just kind of came together.
And it's the sugar smacks. Dig them, you know? And my neighbor, the kid goes, hey, you broke cereal!
A hope reformer is a person who sees the world from the perspective of God.
No, that's cereal. So I was so embarrassed. I was like, no,
who's got great plans for the future. That's a hope reformer. And a hope reformer is someone who is healed in wholeness.
Got it wrong. So I said,
just recently, Bob had gave me a few words.
A
I think these sound so true. It's related to
like
what we're doing.
You cannot do
he
that
said, John,
you're
going to be teaching on warfare,
like,
what that looks like in different forms. Fishers, foxes, and snakes. There's warfare.
And so we
warfare of the emotions. Warfare in our theology. Warfare in our relationship. There is warfare. John, you need to train your people
snacks.
In that. John, you're going to help people to love people with hope. To love people with hope. Like, if you see people and if you don't have hope at all, you can't really love them like God loves them because you don't see beyond the present circumstance. But if you see people with hope, God's plan, then you could prophesy, you could speak to them. And he says, this is enhancing, not distracting. What you're going to be doing is not distracting. It's enhancing, I would say, it's just highlighting those things that he's already spoken.
And so even now when I hear it, it actually gives me...
And you're going to come up with a different wholeness model.
That was the first song.
So the theme of this month is wholeness. Wholeness. And he's got a... He sent me this stuff... Reformation into healing. It's not really healing. Healing is premised on you being sick and you got to be male. No, wholeness is bigger.
So
wholeness is about maturation.
Wow.
Wholeness
Jesus.
is integrity. Wholeness is about pieces coming together. And so you will come up with a different model for wholeness. It's about transformation. And as he's sharing that, I go, this is amazing, because for the work in my seminary, I am revamping the whole curriculum. Actually, the whole curriculum. The question is now, what are we doing as a seminary? And the answer is, we are cooperating with God to see transformation take place. And it's got four dimensions. It's got a spiritual dimension of attachment love. I actually use that. It's attachment love to God and to people. A pastor or spiritual leader that does not love God or people is no good. That's where the power is. Some occupation, the power is in knowledge.
I'm sorry, but the game ain't over until Jesus.
They trade in knowledge. Spiritual leaders must trade in God's love. You're bringing God's love to
people. We want to walk by faith, and we want to walk in this.
So there's a spiritual dimension. There's a theological dimension. That's the hope theology. We got to understand what God is doing. There is a practical dimension. How to pray. How to lead a prayer meeting. So I'm going to put in the curriculum, like not only just teaching, but do the people know how to even lead a prayer meeting? No seminary covers that. And the fourth dimension is called metaformational. Fancy word for it. Do you know whether or not you're growing? Do you know how to assess yourself? When the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, do you know what working out means? Do you know where you've been and where you're going? Do you have a sense of your own growth in God? Unless you have a sense of your own growth in God, then how do you know whether or not you're going backwards or forwards? So when he mentioned transformation, those are the thoughts I had. And the Lord's reminding me, I am making everything new. But the pieces are already here. So we are going to major in hope theology. We are going to crave His presence. We are only vessels. We are only conduits. What the world needs and what we need is more of God. More of God in us and more of God upon us. And we need new outlooks, hopeful outlooks. We need not to fear the world, but love the world with His power. We want to make true the claim, He who is in you is greater than he who is outside. We want to live that out. No matter war, disease, that doesn't change. Tell me whether or not the game has changed. Has God changed? Listen, tragedies will occur. A disease will occur, pandemics may occur, war may occur, economic collapse may occur. Those are events, but those do not replace God. And for a people who hear the Lord, who can feel safe, like Jesus Himself, the world that Jesus was born into was a terrible place. Barbarism, slavery, violence, women treated as property. Just terrible, terrible dark world. And the scripture says the light came into darkness and the darkness did not overcome it.
Thank you so much.
We're not living in such darkness, relatively speaking. It's gotten more light. Certain things have not changed and certain things are still challenges. But what the Lord is invested in, interested in, isn't to change the world. Interested in changing you so that you can change the world. He's interested in building you up and making sure you get healed from the inside out. Healed in your view of God. Healed in your view of people. Healed in your view of yourself. Hope in God. Hope for cities and nations. Hope for the next generation. Hope for people. Hope in God. Hope in prayer. The five hopes that Bob had shared a long time ago is still true. And it begins with hope and prayer. Everything starts with prayer. If you're hopeless, what do? The answer is prayer. Start to pray. Because something may happen in prayer. God may enter the picture. And everything changes. Then you're going to hope in God through adoration. You're going to hope in yourself. You're going to hope in people. You're going to hope in the next generation. You're going to hope in cities and nations. You're going to declare from God's perspective what's going to happen. And that is the power of life. So, Lord, we just thank you for the gift of this church. We thank you for John Go. Bless John and Kristen in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, you have not forgotten Korea. The stats tell a terrible story of young people not interested in Jesus, not interested in church, not interested in God. But that's okay, because you're interested. You're interested in the next generation. So whatever you are started and depositing in the ministry of God, Soul Missional Church, we ask for more glory, more provision, more power to John and Kristen in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we thank you, Pastor Wanasua, another house of prayer person. That's why we're connected to them to begin with. They are the leaders of houses of prayer. Bless them in Thailand, Southeast Asia. Bless our brothers and sisters in Laos and Vietnam and Thailand. Lord, it's not by accident. Because we said yes to the house of prayer, now we're connected to the house of prayer. We pray for Ed and Linda and the leadership of IHOPKC, Lord. We ask that you would strengthen them in their relationship with you. We say thank you that they are our friends. We say we appreciate them as our dear, prayerful, gentle, humble, mature, loving friends. We bless them in Jesus' name. And when they spend time with us, we ask for mutual blessing. We bless Miko and Abina Dimitro. I want everyone to read his Facebook post. If you have a Strong's Concordance, look up the word that is affiliated with the number 2022. Epikeo, pour out. He's got a word there on Facebook. It's worth reading. God's going to pour out his spirit. And Lord, we pray for our young people. Lord, for many of them, what I've said is kind of vague theology. It's not connected. I pray for a connection. I ask for a connection that they would think in terms of hope, in terms of how God, who God really is. And as our dear friend Dan says, he's really, really good. Like, he is so good that there is not even an ounce of badness. There's not even a drop. If God was a vast ocean, there's not even a tenth of a drop of evil. There's none. He's absolutely pure and good and tender and loving and full of grace and compassion. He is that good. God is 100% to be relied upon, even through our mistakes. So may hope reformers be raised up in our church. Pray for the kids right here in this room. John and Serena, Caleb, hope arise. For Anna, for Aaron. Jesse's not here. He's with the children. Jesse. Jakey. Lydia. For Lily. For Izzy. Raise up the little ones who are back. Simeon. And Elliot, raise up our children, Lord, so that they will move with the living God. They will hear your voice and know your heart. That they would love you, Lord. Make that possible, that our children will fall in love with the God of love. Somehow make a connection. And we pray for the kids who aren't here, our children. We pray, Lord, for love to be real, that would arise in the heart, so that love will automatically give space to hope. Because in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love always hopes. Love always perseveres. So the hope we're talking about is rooted in the God of love. Lord, lastly, we want to thank you, and I personally want to thank you for China. Bless China. The greatest missionary army ever in the history of mankind. May that promise still be true with the Chinese believers. Back to Jerusalem. Bless our dear friend Bob in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for staying with him and healing him. Bring health and wholeness to his mind and body and heart in Jesus' name. Be with Bill and what's happening at Bethel, Lord, and with Chris Valentine, that whole group, Lord. You have actually done something beautiful in that part of the country. Do something beautiful with Bethel music. Be with the people. Biblically, theologically sound way. Be with Helen in Jesus' name. Thank you for her heart for you. Thank you for her dreams, Lord. Fill her with your abundance and goodness. Bring complete joy and healing for Helen and Richard, the three boys, and daughter-in-law, and the granddaughters coming in April. Just bless the entire family, parents, Helen's parents, Lord. Your goodness be shining, Lord, in the days ahead. We pray for Elijah Kent. Bless him as he's going after revival. Bless Shin, my dear friend, the man of healing and revival. Bless Pastor Tom, who for us was a person of healing. Be with the nobles, Lord. They've been such a source of strength. Holly, Nikki, and Brenda, be with them in Jesus' name. Our church is different because of them, because of Holly. Bless her in Jesus' name. Bless PW and Kathy, Lord. They were there at Elijah Kim's thing, and Suzanne sent a message like, it's good that you're coming. They never got it. They just came, and we knew that they were supposed to be here. I remember telling PW, like, point of no return, right? Point of no return. Once you've tasted the power of the Holy Spirit, you can't go back to a powerless Christianity. So be with PW and Kathy. Faith and Daniel and Izzy, be with their extended family in New Jersey, here in California. Bless the PACs in Jesus' name. Be with Hannah, Ann, Sarah. Be with the whole PAC. And we just pray for Alex and Carrie, and you guys are going to be filled with God, and then your next station, you're going to bring Hope Reformers. We recognize that Hope Reformers are already being sent to different parts of the world. Some have just spent some time here, and now they're gone, and they're carrying the message of hope and God's presence. Pray for our college students. Caleb, who's starting. May he not have such a great time, Lord. You know what I mean. But be with them. Be with the Lord. Be with Caleb. Be with Serena. Thank you for John. Be with Elon. Lord, when it comes down to it and we ask, well, what's the new thing you're doing? You will focus on what you are actually doing. You are actually addressing individual lives. You hold up our face. Lord Jesus, as you held up my face and you told me, don't look to your left, don't look to your right. Look at me, John. So Lord, we want to look at you. The theology of looking at your face, the theology of hearing your heart, that's all that we really need. That's the Sabbath, to look at your face, to feel your heart, to experience the living God, and then everything is added. So we say, whatever joys and hopes that have been stolen the past 2 years, especially with politics and COVID and whatnot, Lord, remove those things and restore our hope in you. In you, be pure and holy. May we not change. Jesus. On the night of his arrest, took bread.